I'm Alex Michelson in San Francisco. This week, the issue is the California Democratic Convention.
Is this the biggest convention in the history of California?
It is the biggest convention we've ever had in California.
14 presidential candidates, more than 5,000 attendees. We speak exclusively one-on-one with former Texas Congressman Beto O'Rourke about immigration, gun control, and more. Plus, the top California political reporters from Politico, the LA Times, and the San Francisco Chronicle talking with us. The issue is from San Francisco starts right now.
On location in San Francisco from the California Democratic Convention, you're watching The Issue Is.
I'm Alex Michelson in San Francisco, and welcome to a very special edition of The Issue Is. Right there, that is the stage where all those presidential candidates will be addressing the crowd. And it is quite a crowd. As you look around, thousands of seats are here as California takes center stage. With 14 candidates speaking here, this is the biggest California Democratic Party convention ever.
This is going to be the center of Democratic politics in this country.
Roger Salazar is a spokesperson for the California Democratic Party. He says our state has more delegates up for grab than any other state.
It is the biggest gathering of Democrats outside of the Democratic National Convention that you'll ever see in the United States.
For years, presidential primary voters in California voted in June and were among the last to vote. But now California's election day will be in March, with vote by mail in February, making Californians among the first to vote.
It's great for us to matter as moving up the primary.
This convention is filled with speeches, meetings, and booths promoting candidates, causes, and legislation, including a bill against loan sharks. Attendees here appreciating all this attention.
It's very exciting because we need to make that change, and the way California goes, all the states follow.
We're joined now by former Texas Congressman Beto O'Rourke, Democratic candidate for president. Welcome to The Issue Is.
Thanks for having us. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much. Okay, so I'll start with the same question I ask everybody. There are so many people running for president. Why you?
We're facing the greatest challenges this country has ever known at our most divided moment with this democracy badly damaged. My whole life has been about bringing people together, making sure this democracy works for everyone. I did it as a member of Congress. I did it in this race for U.S. Senate, where I won more votes than any Democrat in Texas history, but also brought independents and Republicans together. Young people turned out at a rate 500% greater than the last midterm election. That's what it's going to take to defeat Donald Trump and then bring this country together around our greatest challenges, healthcare, our economy, immigration, and confronting climate change before it's too late.
Welcome to California.
Thank you. Good
to have you back here.
Yeah.
Polls here show that you're behind in this state. Joe Biden ahead. You also have Kamala Harris, who's gotten endorsements of basically everybody in the state.
Right.
What's your strategy for winning the state, and how big an importance is California overall strategy?
California is huge. And so my strategy, not unlike what we did in Texas, is to go everywhere and also go to those places that might be unlikely. I think we may be one of the first, if not the first, candidates to go to the Central Valley. To visit places like Stockton or Mariposa, to go to Yosemite to talk about climate change, and also to go to communities where it's not safe to drink the water or breathe the air, a challenge that is not just unique to California, but California might show us the way that this country needs to pursue a confrontation with this existential challenge through the leadership here. And I want to make sure that's reflected not just in our campaign here, but everywhere we go around the country.
A brief note about the news of the day, which is yet another mass shooting in America. And I know you've said this is unacceptable and we got to do something.
Yeah.
Senator Harris here has said that she would have an executive action and implement an assault weapons ban.
Yeah.
Do you agree with that? Is that a good way to go?
I agree. You cannot continue to sell weapons of war designed, engineered, sold to the United States military because they're really good at killing a lot of people very quickly, and not expect them to end up in our synagogues and churches and temples and public life as they do now. So stopping the sale of those weapons into our communities is critical. So is universal background checks, red flag laws, ensuring that those who pose a danger to themselves or someone else are stopped before it's too late. This is going to be something that requires all of us coming together to stop this kind of bloodshed.
So just to be clear, you would support an executive action to
have an assault weapons ban?
I want to make sure that we use every lever of this government's authority and power to protect the lives of our fellow Americans. So yes, an assault weapons ban, but also going beyond that, universal background checks, right, closing all loopholes, protecting our fellow Americans.
Let's talk about immigration, which is an issue that you're so passionate about. You probably had the most ambitious plan of any candidate that you just recently announced on the issue of immigration. Part of that is $5 billion for Central America. Part of that is a pathway to citizenship for Dreamers. Part of that is a pathway to easier pathway to citizenship for those who are here illegally. Just big concept. Do you think that people here illegally, is that a crime? Is it a bad thing to be here illegally? Is it wrong to cross the border without proper papers?
Well, we don't want people to do that going forward. We want to make sure that our laws reflect our values and our interests. That's what our plan calls us to do. But to your point about the nearly 11 million who are here without documents, I want them to be able to come forward. They've already contributed so much more than they will ever be able to take from this country, whether it's in the taxes that they pay, the really difficult jobs that they work, the families that they're raising. I want to make sure that they can contribute even more as permanent residents and then ultimately as U.S. citizens. Then I also want to make sure that we stop the flow of people from Central America by investing in solutions that cause people to leave in the first place. The violence that we have there, the historic droughts in Honduras, let's help those people in those communities to be able to take care of themselves there so they don't have to make a 2,000-mile journey to our country.
But you've seen Republicans in the House stop immigration reform before. We've seen President Bush, President Obama, and President Trump have all not been able to get their immigration plans through Congress, although very different immigration plans. How do you get that through? How do you convince Republicans to support what you're talking about? Because that would be a dramatic change for the U.S.
I don't think it's going to be enough for the next president of the United States to have a great plan. No matter how terrific our next leader is, he or she will need to have a Congress with whom they can work. We'll need to have a movement that they have led in not just defeating Donald Trump, but bringing this country together. And so the way that we're campaigning, going everywhere, not writing anybody off, not taking anyone for granted, is central not only to our strategy to win this election, but to make sure that we win on immigration reform, on climate change, on including more people in this economy, and ensuring everyone is well enough through healthcare to be able to live to their full potential. So it's really going to take a movement, and it cannot just be left to one person.
You are the only candidate who actually lives on the border itself. We here are a border state as well. I know you've said that walls don't necessarily work and that maybe some walls should come down. We have walls in San Diego and Calexico, other parts of California. Should those walls come down?
You know, I'd really leave that to the local stakeholders in a given community. If they believe it improves their safety and their security, then they should be able to keep that up. But what I won't do is take our fellow Americans' land, their farms, their ranches, their homes, to construct a 2,000-mile, $30 billion wall that we do not need, a solution in search of a problem. I will meet the chaos that Trump has created at our border with a humane policy of welcoming asylum seekers, never putting their kids in cages, never deporting their mothers back to the countries from which they fled in the first place, and ensuring that we address the problems in the home countries to prevent people from fleeing in the first place. We will not solve this with walls and cages. We'll solve this through smart foreign policy and a humane treatment of our fellow human beings at the U.S.-Mexico border.
Another issue that matters so much to people here in California and in Texas is reproductive rights and abortion rights in the news so much now. Some people in Hollywood are suggesting that there should be a boycott of some of those states. What do you think should be done from a federal level, from a citizen level? How do you respond to what's happening there?
Yeah. You know, I think just as an American, I want to support people in Alabama who want to run for office to change the composition of that state legislature, to make sure that we have leaders who reflect the importance of women's reproductive rights, their health care, in the midst of a maternal mortality crisis in this country that is three times as deadly for women of color, an unprecedented attack on the settled law of the land, Roe versus Wade. We need to make sure that we have a president who does everything within his or her power to make sure that we protect that right to an abortion and that right to make a decision about her own body for every woman.
Californians are just getting to know you as a person. There's been a lot of good press. There's been some not so good press.
Right.
What do you think is the biggest misconception about you that's out there?
You know, I think that folks have heard about me because of this extraordinary Senate race that I got to be a part of in Texas, but may not have had a chance to be part of these town hall meetings that we're holding all over the country, where we invite anyone to come out. Y no me importa, I don't care if you're Republican, Democrat, or independent, small town, big city, want to hear what's on your mind. That way of bringing people together and repairing this broken democracy, I believe, is fundamental to our prospects in being able to be the next nominee and defeat Trump, but also really central to repairing this democracy so that it is up to the challenges that we face. And I want people to come out to these kind of meetings, see us in action, and really have a chance to share their ideas, their concerns, what's exciting to them, and make sure that that's reflected in this campaign.
All right. We like to have a little bit of fun. So We want to get to know you. And this is a little game we do called Personal Issues. So we want to ask you a few questions to get to know you a little better. Okay,
all right.
Ready?
Yeah.
First one is favorite band.
The Clash.
Favorite athlete.
Muhammad Ali.
Favorite comedian.
Steve Martin.
Favorite Star Wars character.
Han Solo.
Favorite meal.
Cheeseburger.
Favorite president of all time.
Abraham Lincoln.
First concert you went to?
Quiet Riot.
And lastly, favorite road snack?
Donut.
Nicely. I agreed with you on most of those answers. Thank you very much for the time.
Welcome back to the California Democratic Convention in San Francisco with 5,000 delegates and guests, 14 presidential candidates, and the three best political reporters in California, or at least the three best on a panel. Carla Marinucci is here for the first time. She is the co-author of the California Politico Playbook, which comes as an email every day. If you're interested in politics in this state, subscribe. Joe Garofoli is the senior political writer for the San Francisco Chronicle. He's also the host of the Must Listen To podcast, It's All Political. And Melanie Mason is back with us on The Issue Is. She is a political reporter for the Los Angeles Times. She spent much of the last several months traveling around the states with the candidates. Welcome to you all. Good to have you here. Yes. Carla, great to have you for the first time on the show. You're like the Dean of California. This is your moment. California finally matters. So what does that mean for California voters?
Well, California is the 800-pound gorilla when it comes to delegates, but we don't see these candidates retail. And this is the chance for these folks to see a whole parade of them. They're going to be trying to woo the delegates. They're going to be out there doing town hall meetings. So this is the moment for California, the most activist delegates, the most activist Democrats, to get in there and actually shake hands with
people. Well, and for regular voters going forward, because for so long, Joe, California's just been seen as sort of an ATM where there's these fundraisers behind closed doors, but the regular folks don't actually get to interact with candidates.
Right, and there'll be interaction this weekend. There's Elizabeth Warren's doing an event in Oakland tonight, on Friday night. Bernie Sanders is doing an event in San Jose. There's a kind of little small dollar fundraisers around town, so even real people who are outside of the convention can interact as well.
But going forward over the next year or so, it's going to be different in California.
I think it is going to be different. And you know, when they decided to move the primary up, I mean, I think that's the main reason we're having this conversation, right? Our primary is earlier this time around than it has been in the past. For this exact reason, they were hoping California would be more determinative. And the people who were behind that move said they were hoping to see the candidates come here more often. So I think by that standard alone, we can say that this move was a success, regardless if California actually anoints the nominee or not.
Well, so every major candidate is here, with one exception, who's the guy who's leading in every poll,
right.
Joe Biden, the former Vice President of the United States. Joe, where is he? Why isn't he doing
there's
this?
There's no reason for Joe Biden to be here. The only thing this could do would be to hurt him. He could get lost in the shuffle with 14 other candidates. He could say something. This group here is to the left of not only the rest of the nation, but to the left of most of the California electorate. So, you know, he's more of a centrist.
Somebody who doesn't have a problem with the left is Bernie Sanders, who continues to do well. He had more delegates from California than any other state back in 2016.
That's right.
What do you make of his strategy?
You know,
a lot of rallies.
That's right. This is where the tension, I think, is going to be at this convention this weekend. The left Bernie-crats against some of the more centrist Democrats. Even Nancy Pelosi could get some heat here from that end of the Democratic Party. So Bernie's crowd is energized. They're here in numbers. He's doing a lot of events. And, I mean, he's planning on pumping up the action for him in California. He's second in the polls, right behind Biden.
Yeah. What do you make of Kamala Harris? who is endorsed by more people than anybody else in California.
I think it goes to show that California is so big that it's really hard to lock down home state. It's not like she is the senator from Iowa, and so therefore there's a lot of sort of interpersonal connection with the voters there. California is so vast that it really is rare for a politician, maybe Jerry Brown or Dianne Feinstein, who has been in the sort of mindset of the voters for decades now. I mean, Kamala Harris has won 3 statewide elections. She is popular in this state, but there's still at least a quarter of Californians who don't have an opinion of her. And I think that is less a reflection of her and more a reflection of just how vast the state is and how hard it is to claim hometown advantage in a state like California.
Well, there are so many other candidates running as well, so we're going to talk about them, who might have a realistic chance of winning this state. But before we go to break, I do want to give one shout out to our producer, Michelle, and photographer, Kevin, because they built this whole special set for the first time. And they got here, there were no chairs, so they had to make an IKEA run. So our thanks to IKEA for making this possible. Way to go. Nicely done, guys. We'll be back with more of The Issue Is from San Francisco when we come back. And welcome back to a special edition of The Issue Is from the California Democratic Convention in San Francisco. Our all-star panel is back. Carla Marinucci from Politico, Joe Garofoli from the San Francisco Chronicle, and Melanie Mason from the LA Times. Earlier in the show, we talked with Beto O'Rourke, the Texas congressman. And what do you make of sort of the rise and fall and potential rise again of Beto O'Rourke?
Right.
You've been out on the campaign road.
I have. He came to California a couple weeks ago, and he did really interesting sort of combination of big rallies in places like San Francisco and Los Angeles, but then smaller visits to places like Modesto, the Central Valley, which is much less common for candidates to come by. And I think it was a reflection of, you know, he had this big splashy debut on the cover of Vanity Fair. There was so much buzz around him. But the truth is that he really does have to introduce himself to voters, particularly California voters who only knew him as the guy that ran against, almost beat Senator Ted Cruz. And that's a selling point for a lot of Democrats, but that's not enough in a field of 23 candidates to differentiate yourself.
It seems like he's really going hard on the immigration issue in a way that other candidates aren't.
Yeah, and I think that's important. This is an issue, especially with Trump and the border and Mexico and trade. That whole thing is all wrapped up together. Texas is a state that's been affected more than any other state. The fact is, he still has a struggle. And he says it shows the volatility of this whole Democratic field, that he can be the darling one minute and the next minute lost in crap.
Let's talk about, I guess, I hate to say all the rest, but there's so many candidates, hard to fit them all on. You know, you got Mayor Pete, you've got Elizabeth Warren, you've got other candidates as well. Who is most sort of impressing you each right now?
Elizabeth Warren doing a town hall meeting in Oakland is very unusual. She's going to get a very big crowd. Mayor Pete has been a sensation here in San Francisco. A lot of Kamala's people have shown up at some of his events, eclipsing her in some respects.
So who are you most impressed by right now?
I don't know if I'm impressed by, but people who I think have got to do something here are Julian Castro and Kirsten Gillibrand. Both of them are kind of on, I won't say life support yet, but they've got to make some kind of move. Castro is a natural constituency here, 7.7 million Latino voters in the state. He's got to try and connect with them.
All right, we're going to have to leave it there, unless anybody wants to take a prediction on who's going to win California. Our thanks to a great panel, great to welcome us here in San Francisco as well. Up next on The Issue Is something we've never done before. You're going to want to check it out.
From Southern California to the Bay Area, you're watching The Issue Is.
As our team drove from L.A. to San Francisco this week, we wanted to ask everyday voters what they think the issue is.
America and the world today is climate change.
Climate change.
Taxes have been a big problem. They continue to be.
Getting Donald Trump out of office.
Yeah, women's issue.
The issue that's most important to me is crime.
Homeless. You know, there's so many here.
Homelessness, you know, and racism. I
left. The issue is what?
Healthcare.
Green power.
Income inequality.
Get things done. Quit with all the left and right.
Trump's malignant personality disorder.
The international trade war. It's crazy.
No more wars. It's, you know, stop spending money on bombing people overseas and start spending that money on health care.
And you can see there why there's so much passion and so many issues that people care about. We'll have more from here next week on The Issue Is, but for now, so long from San Francisco.